Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports, brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pedro, let me tell you congratulations on your long time in radio, you and your team, and for your ratings, man. I was reading about that. I'm very impressed with you, Pedro.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Yes, the man was correct in that lofty introduction, as my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest running fight show in history, often imitated but never duplicated. We'll bring in the retired HBO godfather, try to pry some wisdom out of him today. I'm talking about Mr. Larry Merchant. We'll hear from Larry Merchant. Mike Tyson will join us for a short piece, of course, talking about the exhibition, the fight, call it what you want. Of course, he and Roy Jones hooked it up in a multi-million dollar eight-round exhibition. We'll talk about that in depth if the Godfather wants to, because, you know, he's not the biggest Mike Tyson fan in the world. And let's be honest, this isn't really a fight. It's an exhibition. We'll talk about the difference between an exhibition and a fight with Larry Merchant. And, of course, we'll also talk UFC, and we'll bring in Muhammad Ali today, talking a little bit off the wall. 1974 Muhammad Ali with David Frost saying some just off the wall stuff. So straight up, Ali, unpredictable as always, as is this show. Open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the Guilfrey No Commitment text line. The number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. 1613. We are broadcasting live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, we're showing Mike Tyson's knockouts and a split screen with in studio being me. Straight up, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, you can always listen on iHeartRadio's channel 211 or Sirius XM satellite radio. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say, but he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him, so I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die, never been one to hide out. He comes on, damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Don King talking about a performance I put on at the Times Square Gym back in 1990. Yeah, I was looking hot back then because I was a young man. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. The Godfather of Soul means the retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant's in the house. And how are you this morning, sir?
I'm good, Pedro. My wife and I are celebrating our 40th anniversary. And we're awaiting our kids and grandkids to come over and hang out after they took a long journey by car across and back to New York. So it's a good day.
Well, say hello to the Godmama. Congratulations on that. You know, you're married to an actress. I was dating an actress one time, and I remember an actress. Anyway, I remember one time, I think Frank Sinatra said, never date an actress because you can never tell when she's acting. You think that's true?
no comment.
Okay. Lots of things happen in the world of boxing. Teofimo Lopez, of course, the hot fighter out of Brooklyn, now sort of balking at the $1.2 million he was going to get to take on Vasyl Lomachenko. Don't these guys realize there's no live gates anymore? And there's like, I mean, how can you put a fight together if you don't have a $6 million gate from a site fee from a hotel or a casino and this and that, and expect to give these guys multi-million dollars? This is going to be on regular ESPN or ESPN Plus. Teofimo might be missing the boat here.
He might be, but if he waits 6 or 9 months, he might get three times that amount.
Yeah, and therein lies the issues, because making weight is one hell of a burden. It just is. He's having problems making 135. He says he doesn't think he can make 135 that much longer. In fact, Gervonta Davis, when he said take on Leo Santa Cruz, I guess that's going to go down in September, I believe, on pay-per-view, Showtime pay-per-view. Santa Cruz is getting Davis to come down to 130. Davis, not the most disciplined guy in the world at making 135. So that's going to be the challenge, I think, in the Gervonta Davis-Leo Santa Cruz fight, is Davis making 130. What do you think?
I don't know, Pedro. I do know that fighters move around in weight divisions as they get older. And it's harder for them to make weight. So I don't know his particular situation. But if the big bucks are there, then that might help him focus his mind.
Okay, but do you think that fighters are, how can I put this? Right now, the UFC is on TV. Boxing is not on TV. And I'm not the biggest UFC fan in the world, but that Dana White guy's putting shows on TV, and he's putting on shows on pay-per-view, and he's putting on some quality shows. But the bottom line is, he's out there. Boxing's having 101 fights as far as main events are concerned, Godfather, and I can't get into watching 101 fights.
I don't know exactly why there's such a difference, but this might be it. Dana White pays his guys what he wants to pay them.
Nickels.
You know, they don't get a piece of the gate. If a fight blows out, they get what they get. And they're all a part of his promotional company. Mm-hmm. In boxing, it's different. There are many promotional companies that cross borders and cross countries and oceans and so on and so forth, and everybody wants what they consider to be the best share, so that everybody comes out of a fight a winner. So I suspect that has something to do with it.
Seriously. We're talking with the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, celebrating his 40th wedding anniversary today, of course, with his lovely wife, Patricia Stitch Merchant. We want to congratulate both of them time and time again. Don King's trying to get back into the promotional business. Evidently, he's got a couple of fighters. He can't move around anymore, Godfather. He can't even get up. I mean, they can't get him out of a chair. 5 years ago, we had to pry him out of a chair to stand him up in Hungary. I mean, that was like 6 or 7 years ago. So he can't stand up anymore. Do you think he can still promote via the virtual type of thing? In other words, could he do a virtual? Is his mouth enough to do the virtual thing right now?
That's another thing I don't know everything about, but Don King is still a marquee name in boxing, and I imagine others will do the real promoting.
Okay. Speaking of promoting, you know, one time I was supposed to do an exhibition with Wilfred Benitez, and he left town. And of course, he left town because I was going to, Anyway, he left town. So they put me in with Butch Gomez, who was a junior lightweight around here, and I ran him out of the ring, who was my trainer's brother. But they also put me in with Carlos De Leon. He was a WBC World 190-pound cruiserweight champion at the time. And I was scared to death. But we had sparred in the gym the whole 9 yards. And it was an exhibition. And he was very nice. He was the nicest man in the entire world. He didn't hurt me anything. But I was scared. Bottom line is, it was an exhibition. I mean, nothing was really going to happen. Mike Tyson's going to push an exhibition on television or on pay-per-view. They're going to charge like $40 or $50 to watch this. Is this back to the P.T. Barnum type of thing? There's a sucker born every minute, Larry?
There are many suckers born every minute, Pedro. And they're counting on volume. and name recognition, and they'll probably make some real bucks. And no matter what they say beforehand and all of that, it'll be a show. There have been exhibitions sort of like this in the past, and you can count on me not watching it.
I figured as much. You have a wonderful day, sir. Enjoy your anniversary. Say hello to Mrs. Merchant for me. Give her my best. I wish you guys another 40 years together. You guys are a fantastic couple. I thank you for your hospitality. And more importantly, Larry, I thank you for your class and your integrity and the fact that you spend time with me each week. Thank you, Godfather.
Thank you. I'll take 10 years, Pedro.
All right. Good enough.
So long.
The retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Hall of Famer, is celebrating 40 years of marriage today to Patricia Stitch Merchant. Congratulations to the God Mama and the Godfather. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
Mighty Tower of Power Horns bringing us back from the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. A guy that's got 1,000 names, we'll just use the one that's on the BoxRec record right now. Wisiko Wangek, the former champion at 115 pounds, was a winner yesterday across the pond in Asia over a guy that was a former champion at 108 pounds. Amwat Runarong. Bottom line is it was like a mismatch and, at the end of the day. Wassel Wangpak can fight, no doubt about that. But of course, he destroyed Chocolito, not once, but twice. Talk about Mr. Chocolito Gonzalez, of course, considered like pound for pound the greatest fighter in Max Kellerman's mind until he got destroyed. Straight up, Angelo Lee beat Tremaine Williams. Of course, that was a 122-pound WBO fight. Of course, Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez gave up the title, moved up to 126 pounds when he had all kinds of business to take care of at 122. That's what I don't get it. I can't get the fights at 122. What do you mean you can't get the fights? Let me tell you about the 122-pound division. All right, it's always been a hot division. It was a division, of course, with Wilfredo Gomez when Carlos Arate, the world bantamweight champion, decided he was going to move up from 118 to 122 pounds. It was like the mega fight, him and Wilfredo Gomez. Gomez was like 32-0, something like that. Of course, he destroyed him in the blink of an eye. But right now, Valenzuela Martinez could have fought Ray Vargas. Of course, that's a kid out of Mexico as well. He's like 34-0. There's, of course, he already took Mr. Dogba, already dogged him. But there's Brandon Figueroa, there's Angelo Leo now. There's a couple of guys who could have fought at 122 pounds. Why he moved up to 126, I just don't know. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, he is a talented fighter. And of course, Mexico's maybe most talented fighter, but fighting at 126, I'm just not in agreement with that whatsoever. Nah. 122 pounds is where he should have stayed until he destroyed everybody at 122. Then you move up to 126 pounds. Speaking of destroying everybody, pound for pound, right now, of course, Saul Alvarez. Canelo, 53-1, a couple of draws out of Mexico. Talking about fighting in September and then not talking about fighting in September. These guys all want money, but there's no gate. There's no gate. In other words, listen, if we were fighting at the MGM Grand or we were fighting at Caesars Palace, or we were fighting at Madison Square Garden, the Garden would give us like five, if I'm the promoter, the Garden's going to give me like $5 or $6 million to begin with. Okay, then I'm going to sell some tickets inside the house, so I'm going to make some money there, okay? And then I'm going to sell T-shirts. I'm going to make all kinds of money. When I don't have a live gate, I can't make that kind of money, so I can't give you millions and millions and millions of dollars. Speaking case in point, Teofimo Lopez, the aforementioned kid from Brooklyn, New York, was like 15-0, 12 knockouts, something like that. There's a rage, no doubt about that. The kid can fight. He's the real deal. I'm behind him. But, you know, him, like $1.2 million is not enough to fight Vasyl Lomachenko in the studio. I mean, there's no crowd there, Holmes. You can't fill up the Barclays Center. It ain't going to be happening. MSG ain't going to work. That was the way it was the first time around because MSG was going to host. Ain't going to happen this time. But Lopez, can I say, he doesn't want to take less money. Lomachenko evidently is happy with the money he's been offered because he is the promoter's fighter and more the house fighter. In fact, he's a favorite fighter. In fact, I look at the sports book, he's favored 3.5, 4-1, which is a great bet if you bet Lopez, no doubt about that, because he is a live underdog, no doubt about that. But if you go back to the words of the Godfather a few minutes ago, Larry Merchant, if you wait 6 to 9 months, it can be a bigger fight. How about Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua? Are they going to do it? Is it going to be Deontay Wilder? What's happening? There's not going to be a vaccine in time to save boxing this year as far as putting butts in the seats. It ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. I mean, you can dream all you want. You can wish all you want. In fact, you can wish in one hand and spit in the other. Guess which hand is going to get fuller faster? Yeah, that's the way it is. Wishes aren't going to work. Okay, and as far as a vaccine is concerned, it would take maybe a year, year and a half for it to get into the masses as far as the public's concerned, as far as like having mass crowds. I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm figuring that we can't pack 80,000 people into a stadium for at least 2 years. At least 2 years. So the money's not going to be there for Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua fighting in Wembley Stadium. They can fight in somebody's, they can fight in an office. Put a ring up in an office and put a couple of cameras in there, it'll work. Okay, you can't have the live gate. Teofimo Lopez doesn't seem to want to realize that. Going through the get this. And Errol Spence now is going to fight Danny Garcia. Oh, boy, good old Danny. Errol Spence, of course, the kid that got flipped out of the car. What is he, like 30 years old now? 26-0 out of Texas, of course. Good fighter, no doubt about that. A southpaw, pound for pound. They consider him one of the best in the game right now. But not after getting flipped out of a car at 95. No. Not 95 miles per hour, 105 miles per hour. He got flipped out of a car. I watched his body fly out of the car, 105 miles per hour in slow motion. He's not going to be able to recover from that. In fact, here's what's up. Danny Garcia is rumored to be having problems making weight. He might not be able to make 147 pounds, evidently. So we've got Scott Cuddy training to make 147. That's right. Cuddy's going to make the weight. Cuddy's going to make the weight because we think that Cuddy's got a shot against Errol Spence. Everybody has got a decent shot against Errol Spence. If I didn't have a broken right arm right now, I'd fight Errol Spence. Straight up, Errol Spence, of course, pound for pound. Not in my book, top 10 pound for pound, not after flying out of that car. The guy, I think, is really making moves, I think, at 147. But then, of course, he got stalled by this coronavirus as well, is the 36-0 kid from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm talking about Terrence Crawford, of course, of champion at 135, 140, and now 147 of the WBO. We'll see what he does as far as his status is concerned. But Spence is going to fight Danny Garcia. Of course, Danny Garcia, the former champion, 140 pounds, moving up to 147. I was just joking about him having weight problems. But if they need a last-minute substitute, I'm willing to put Cuddy in there. If I didn't have a broken right arm, I'd jump in there. I'm telling you, I'm serious. Think about this. You got a fighter that got flipped out of a car at 105 miles per hour. You actually think he's going to have his game on? Man, I'd be doing all kinds of stuff to mess with his head. I talk with him, and we get in close. I tell him, man, you know, mumble in his ear, this kind of stuff. We do the Ali number on him, that kind of good stuff. I think that Errol Spence is just not the – I mean, right now, he's just not the fighter that he once was. Say what you want. I think Manny Pacquiao might have a shot against him. Why? Speed, fast. I think Manny Pacquiao hits hard enough with that left hand that he can get anybody's respect at 147. And, you know, you got to give Manny Pacquiao some props because I didn't think he was – I always thought it was Flintstone vitamins, but he's fighting at 147 now. Like, you know, he's almost 50 years old. He's 41 years old. What is his record now? 62-7, a couple of draws. Of course, the southpaw out of General Santos City in the Philippines. Current senator, going to be president. All this kind of stuff I tried to predict a few years ago, and you guys laughed at me. When I said he was going to run for political office, and people say, he's not smart enough. Well, he was homeschooled. That's his education background. He was homeschooled. So evidently he's smart enough to put a lot of people in homes. He, like, bought a whole lot of small homes over there in the Philippines, and he put people, homeless people and hurting people and people in poverty, he put them in homes. So give Manny Pacquiao his props as a senator, as a good man in the Philippines, and as being able to kick ass at 41 years old, because I thought he was gone a long time ago. I mean, I thought you'd, like, just say goodbye. And he still, when he beat up Lucas Mattesi, I thought Mattesi was going to light him up like the White House Christmas tree. That didn't happen. He came back and he won that fight. As far as the other guys at welterweight is concerned, Crawford's not a good fight for him. It's just too big, I think, of Manny Pacquiao. I don't think it's a good fight for him. And as far as the rest of the division is concerned, Spence is a fight for Manny Pacquiao right now. Why do I say that? Because I think Spence is damaged goods. Pound for pound, of course, Saul Alvarez is up there. Tyson Fury, the world linear champion, 31 years old. Of course, we had him on the show last week talking about he ran into, Anthony Joshua ran into him. They were training somewhere in Europe, and they happened to run into each other. Of course, they'd like to put that mega fight together, but there is no Wembley Stadium again, and these guys don't want to realize that. So you know, getting $100 million, maybe you can take $50 million or $60 million. In other words, they've got to realize it's time to take a pay cut, and that includes the promoter, because I know promoters, you know, people say to me, you know, the Muhammad Ali Act says that everything a promoter makes has got to be disclosed to the fighter. Come on, man. Be serious, okay? I'm telling you, I believe the promoter always makes twice what the fighters make. And that's why my man, Floyd Mayweather, not my man as far as the fighter is concerned, but my man is a businessman's concern, because, you know, he went in there and he turned it into his own game. Of course, made all that kind of money. Where did that money come from? It came from the promoter's end of it. Because he became the promoter. Speaking of pound for pound, the former pound for pound guy, I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather, always talking smack, of course. Mike Tyson in the news this week because of the fact he wants to make a comeback. And, of course, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones are slated, I think, for September the 12th. And Floyd Mayweather is talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. But what's Mike Tyson saying?
I am so excited to see that you're back in the game, man. How does it feel?
I feel wonderful.
Yo, you know, you're a true knockout artist. Everybody wants to know, is this going to be a Mike Tyson knockout fight?
Hey, if the opportunity comes, I'm always looking for it.
What round are we talking?
We have to come and see.
All right, you know, because, you know, George Foreman was saying he's a little worried that one of you guys might get hurt in there. Like, what do you have to say to George?
I don't know. He wasn't worried about getting hurt when he went on his tour of coming back.
Right.
And fighting. So don't worry about us. And tell George I love him for caring.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely, you know, this is a big time training that you got to do. It's an intense training program, but I also know that you love to smoke weed. Have you had to give that up in order to do the training?
Hey, listen, my total dedication is to fighting right now and doing this exhibition. I'm prepared to go 8 rounds and I'm going to show the world.
Everybody's excited about this. You've got so many top-notch celebs are excited about this. Have you been training with any big-name fighters or anything? Like, have you talked to Floyd Mayweather or anything like that?
Hey, listen, I just went on my journey to go on this mission, and a lot of people gave me their comments, which I'm very grateful for. But like I said before, it's a search and destroy, and I'm looking forward to capturing my glory. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're going to be on top of the fighting game again?
Hey, I'm looking forward to finishing these exhibitions and helping these charities out, which I'm looking forward for.
Right.
That's what I'm pretty much embracing and embarked on. But the fighting game is what I'm about, and hurting people is what
absolutely.
I'm about.
And, you know, when George says he's worried, when are you going to get hurt? Are you more concerned about Roy getting hurt in this fight than
hey,
you?
Listen, I'm not concerned. We're both professionals. We know how to handle ourselves.
Right.
And what happens, happens.
Mike Tyson, of course, talking about the 8-round exhibition with 12-ounce gloves. You know, Mike only usually wears 10-ounce gloves, so I guess it's not that big of a thing to go up in 2 ounces as far as the glove size is concerned. They will not be wearing headgears. It will be an exhibition. Of course, exhibition means no judges. And back in the day, back in boxing's heyday, there wasn't really, like, in the Dempsey days and that kind of stuff, they didn't really have judges. They sort of had like newspaper guys ringside that sort of scored the fights. I kid you not. It was like the newspaper guys scored the fights. That's why a lot of those guys were corrupt, including Wyatt Earp, of course, that famous lawman. He was corrupt as hell as far as a boxing official is concerned. But that's how a lot of fights got fixed. So they went to the newspaper guys. They got the newspaper guys drunk and or bribed them. And then, of course, the fight was altered as far as the score was concerned. But we're going back to an exhibition. And I'm game for it. I mean, Larry's not game for it. I'm game for it. But am I going to pay $60 to watch it? Nah. I'll go over to Cuddy's house. Cuddy will watch it. I'll go over to Cuddy's house and watch it. I'm not going to watch it at home. I just can't spend $60 on that one. Maybe I'll go over to Ricky's Sports Theater in San Leandro, California. Of course, Ricky wasn't looking too good the last time I saw him health-wise, but I wish him the best. And, of course, his wife will carry on the tradition if Ricky were to falter. But Ricky's Sports Theater, talk about history, folks. Boxing. Local football, the Oakland Raiders before they left, and of course then they came back and then they left again. But the bottom line is, if you want sports history and you're hearing a local light here in the, as far as the SF Bay Area is concerned, check out Ricky's Sports Theater on Hesperian Boulevard in San Leandro, California. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, the UFC rocking and rolling, of course. And basically, you know, I wanted Larry to say it, but like I said it, Dana White's a pimp. And the fighters he's got are hoes, and they got to fight. That's all there is to it. Bottom line is, we'll talk about that in depth after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide. A little Down to the Nightclub, T.O.P. to the break.
No place to go, down to the nightclub. Ooh, women be riding, if you're ready to the nightclub. We go bumpty, bumpty, bumpty.
What happens, happens.
Sitting by the dance floor, checking it out. Watching the man with the fast feet. Down to the nightclub.
What happens,
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I mean, it's enough to make your head explode.
This is the new Tower of Power. Check it out. Still the funky horns, baby. Tower of Power. Check them out. They've got two new albums out. Two of them in the last couple of years now. Of course, check it out at towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. Of course, we come to you live on twitch.tv. And as we come to you live on twitch.tv, we are showing, of course, the, wow, this is pretty cool, the Mike Tyson knockouts. It's pretty, Mike, you know, Mike was just destroyed, guys. I mean, poor guys, they get in the ring with Mike and they think, well, you know, look at him. He may be buffed and this and that, but I've got a shot. Everybody's got a shot, right? Until you get hit. In fact, Mike Tyson talked about the SEC. He talked about being social. People are getting too comfortable being able to threaten people and dog people and disrespect people through social media. In other words, you know, they're not afraid of getting punched in the face anymore, and I think he's got a great point there. Speaking of getting punched in the face, Edmar Shabazan was undefeated until he went into last night's middleweight bout. Of course, the UFC, he was the favorite, the betting favorite against Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson, an old veteran, took care of business, a TKO in the third round, 26 seconds into the third round. Of course, that is a middleweight, making it 185 pounds. The co-feature of this ESPN Plus UFC event come to us from Las Vegas and their big UFC center down there, of course, where they're filming in the studios. They're getting fights done. But, of course, like Larry said, they've got people on the plantation. And I've said this before, when you have a dollar, when every UFC dollar is divided up like this, Dana's willing to cop to 18% now, that the fighters make 18% of each dollar, 18 cents on a dollar. Before, it was 8 to 12% in a lawsuit alleged by several fighters, including Kung Lee and Kyle Kingsbury, when they alleged that the UFC was only paying them 8 to 12 cents per dollar. So if it's up to 18%, 18 cents a dollar, I guess that's a bit of a raise. But like Larry said, it ain't much. And, you know, when you go in there and you take an ass-whooping, you get paid $9,000. These guys get like $9,000, but they get to go to Dubai. See, that's it. So you got to go to Dubai, or you got to fight on TV on ESPN Plus, and these fools will take the $9,000 or $10,000, and they'll go over there, and they get lit up like the White House Christmas tree, and I mean beat up so bad that they can't fight for 180 days, 6 months suspensions. So I mean, so $9,000, even if you made $30,000, even if you made $30,000, and you were off 6 months, what does that mean? You can't train for if they don't want you in no contact training for 6 months, okay? So that means you go back into the gym maybe 5 months later, no contact training for a month, and then you start contact training. So you got another 2 months after that. So you're not going to be able to fight for 8 to 9 months afterwards. What does that say if you only made $30,000? And then after the $30,000, I talked to you about that, $30,000. What is $30,000 in the world of combat sports? Well, you got to pay a third to the manager, maybe then 10% to the trainer. And then, of course, you've got the cut man, so we'll give him 2 points. What I'm trying to say is everybody's got to have their cut. You've got to pay for your own camp. You got to pay for your own food sometimes. Bottom line is MMA, those guys are like the hoes of combat sports. I said it time and time again. In fact, if they were working the streets of San Francisco, if Dana White was I was a cop. Some of you know that, some of you don't know that. But I was a cop in San Francisco, and when I broke in as a rookie, a recruit, we worked in the Tenderloin where they used to have hookers walking the streets. They don't have that anymore because I got Craigslist and I guess the internet and all that kind of stuff. But they used to have hookers walking the street, and it was a different, how can I put this? It was a different world back then. But if you had a pimp that was only given his hooker $8 or $10 for each $100 she would bring in, she wouldn't be working for him too long. I mean, she would say, you know what? I'm getting on the Greyhound. I'm going to L.A. I'm going to Free. I'm going somewhere. Because that's what the girls do. The girls work a circuit. How do I know that? I was in Honolulu, Hawaii, receiving the 1990 North American Boxing Federation Writer of the Year Award. And I went to a disco afterwards, the night before the award ceremony. And I saw all these women, and they were, like, giggling at me and looking at me. And I'm saying, man, I must be looking hot. Cut, man, I thought I was a spit that night. I did. I'm saying to myself, man, all these girls are admiring me. They're smiling at me. If
They were hookers from San Francisco that were working in Honolulu, Hawaii. So they recognized me as a cop. They're going, oh, giggling, that kind of good stuff. I didn't know. Here I'm thinking to myself, man, you must be looking like a zillion dollars. No, no, no. You look like a cop from San Francisco. I'm trying to say this. The girls worked the circuit. But those girls were working for more than 8 to 12 or 18 cents to the dollar. You just couldn't give a girl, tell a girl to go out and work 100 bucks, do a sex act for 100 bucks, and only take 8 bucks. I mean, it ain't going to happen. Not even a crack. Somebody cooked on a crack is going to do that. But the UFC fighters have to do it. They just have to do it. They don't have a choice. There's no other game in town. That's the only game in town for these guys. And some of these guys aren't, you know, I mean, they're MMA fighters to begin with. They're not the smartest guys in the world. And they think, well, fighters aren't for the most part. But boxers are smarter than MMA guys, I think. Anyway, they realize it's not going to get kicked in the head. Getting kicked in the head is not healthy. Getting hit in the head is not healthy. But getting kicked in the head, I'm telling you, the residual effects we're going to see from this MMA, from the UFC, from this cage fight in 15 or 20 years from now, you're already seeing it. I mean, Jacob Stitch Duran, formerly of Northern California, now the Cutman Extraordinaire, former world heavyweight champion. I think he had both a heavyweight champion of the UFC as his client, Cain Velasquez, and Vladimir Klitschko, the world boxing heavyweight champion, as his client at the same time. So he was like the king of Cutman, no doubt about the undisputed heavyweight champion of Cutman, Jacob Stitch Duran. But, you know, Stitch says now when he goes to the gym, he sees guys that are rummy, mumbling, not, you know, act a little off. And when you look at guys, this is how I sort of notice residual effects of combat sports. When I look at guys and look at guys right in their eyes, I try to look them eye to eye. The eyes aren't right. That's the first sign that something's going wrong as far as neurologic. As far as Dr. Fernandez, you heard Dr. Fernandez a little earlier in the hour being introduced there on the Rockford Files. But no. I mean, it's easy to assess. Because you're looking at a guy and you spend time around a guy. And he's looking at you with both eyes and looking at you square. And then you like see him a year and a half later, like 2 years later. And then one eye is just off slightly. You look at it and you say to yourself, what's wrong with that picture? And then you realize the eye is off slightly. That's the first sign of the residual effects of boxing and or MMA taking place. Combat sports. And it happens, you know what sport it happens the most in? The NFL. It doesn't look like the NFL is going to happen this year. Of course, the NBA having problems as far as the COVID is concerned. They're going to try to put together a league. And, of course, you've also got Major League Baseball. I think Marlins, something like 22 people involved with the Miami Marlins tested positive for that virus. So I guess the virus is not under control. But the president keeps saying it is. He says we got this under control. It'll go away by April. That's what he said. Go away by April. 160,000 people said it'll go away by April. That's on him. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Earlier in the hour, I talked about that exhibition I did with De Leon down there at the Clarion Hotel. I guess this was May of 1984. I just come back from the Olympic trials. Did okay. Finished on my feet. Of course, lost the decision to Vincent Webb of East St. Louis. And if I ever told you about East St. Louis, it's like Don King told me, don't ever go. When I went to St. Louis, I wanted to go to East St. Louis to buy some clothes. And this guy said, they got pimp clothes there and pimpish clothes. Anyway, old gangster clothes. And Don King said, don't you go, don't go to East St. Louis, Pedro. You're crazy if you go to East St. Louis. In fact, I think he said that on TV. Don't go to East St. Louis. You're in the back. Don't go to East St. Louis. Well, I went to East St. Louis, and then they pulled a gun on me and Fabio. So I sort of lived up with what Don said, no doubt about the East St. Louis, a world of its own. But back to the exhibitions. You know, when De Leon was going to fight Bash Ali here, of course, that fight took place in June of 1984. It was May of 1984, and we had Wilfred Benitez here. And Wilfred Benitez, of course, the former three-division champion, the man, of course, that won the world title at 17 years old. 17 years old, beat Antonio Cervantes. Of course, I was never a big fan of Cervantes, the fighter from down there in South America. But he beat him, no doubt about it, at 17 years old. Then he beat Palomino at 147 for the 147-pound championship. Of course, later he would beat Maurice Hope for a 154-pound title. But straight up at 147, Benitez, of course, clashed with Sugar Ray Leonard. This was a super fight. He and Ray Leonard in 1979, I think it was November of 79, if my memory serves me correct. And, of course, Benitez went into this fight as a WBC champion. But he went into this fight training like a week and a half. He knew he was going to get beat. And people say to me, well, we only trained a week. Wait, I don't care if you only trained a week and a half. He knew he had the fight 2 months before. Ray Leonard trained 2 months. So what? Well, Wilfred Benitez is different? I had to make the weight. I barely make the weight. I got so tired hearing Benitez BS. And then, of course, Benitez comes to San Francisco, and he's here for this card that Gordon Ashby is going to put on at the at the Oakland Coliseum, of course, which featured, as I said, the main event, Bash Ali challenging Carlos Del Leon for the world championship. But it was supposed to be Benitez and somebody else, I forget who it was, and the co-feature. Benitez left town. But one of the reasons why he left town was he was getting lit up in the gym. I mean, he was just getting lit up. People, everybody was. Zach Willis. I can't think of Zach's last name, but Zach Attack was lighting him up, and that was a guy, because he wouldn't do anything. Benitez was gone at that point in time. He just stayed laid against the ropes, you know, like he was roping a dope. He was just a dope on the ropes. And, you know, at first I thought he was laying a trap for me. That's what I kept thinking, that Benitez was just laying a trap, you know, because we sparred two different times. And the first time we sparred, the first round, we sparred two rounds each time. And the first time we sparred, the first round was like touchy-touch. And then the second round, I said, Chris Gomez said, go for it. You know, go for it. Hit him. And I did. I mean, I went and Benitez blocked and played the defensive wizard and that kind of good stuff. But he offered no offense whatsoever. At that point in time, he was gone. Of course, he would leave town a couple weeks later, and then when and we would do that exhibition the day after he left town. So he leaves town, then we go down to San Mateo, California, and they hook up a ring for us with a bunch of ropes, and they had, like, you remember those things that you section off a movie theater with, like those little turnstiles and stuff? That's how they built the ring, I kid you not. So not only am I going to get into this ring First, Butch Gomez. Poor Butch. That wasn't a good day for Butch. But first, I wasn't getting in there once beating professional Butch Gomez, of course. And my trainer was Chris Gomez, his brother. What did he tell me? Go for it. Butch never fought again. Think about it. So anyway, so then it's De Leon, me and De Leon. And, you know, you never know, because every once in a while, you know, some guys get upset. Maybe you clip them a little bit too hard. You disrespect them, this and that. But De Leon was a class act. Of course, the late Carlos De Leon, he defended that title for a few years, but he died about a year and a half ago. And the reason why I bring him up is that, you know, we haven't had a world title fight in San Francisco since. And now with the COVID-19 virus and the coronavirus, call it what you want. Anyway, the bottom line is, doesn't look like we're going to have one anytime soon. Of course, we've got Darren Haney. He is the WBC champion, 135 pounds. Of course, some people like Teofimo Lopez call him the internet champion because he never really won a title fight. I think he was anointed champion or something like that. But we've got Darren Haney here in the city by the bay. I thought that Darren was going to be the guy. I said to myself, man, watching this guy, he skipped the Olympics. He said, you know what, I'm skipping the Olympics. There's no need for me to fight amateur anymore. I'm a professional fighter. And he got his act together. Of course, moved to Las Vegas, trained down there, became one of the premier fighters at 135. But he doesn't seem to want to. How can I put this? Put it on the line. Just like Lopez doesn't want to put it on the line. These guys, you know, they talk, but they're not fighting. Same thing with Valenzuela. Of course, Mr. Martinez, Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez. I still can't believe that he didn't stay at 122. There was fights at 122, but these guys, they don't want to fight the tough fights. It's always the easy fights. Like GSP, George St. Pierre, said on last week's show, you know, it's always not only in combat sports and fighting, but it's anything you do, you try to get as much you can for as least that you do. Okay, well, that seems to be the prevalent situation, the prevalence right now as far as boxers are concerned. Canelo's holding out. Teofimo's holding out. These guys can hold out. Where are they going to go? I mean, it's not like you can go to another promoter. It's not like you can go somewhere else to another country. There's nowhere. With the COVID is everywhere. They can't pack anybody in the stadium. Folks, I'm trying to do talking to you fighters. Why can't you just wake up and realize, man, this ain't happening. There ain't going to be no live crowds for a while. So Teofimo, take the $1.2 million. Try to get a cut of it if there's a pay-per-view. Try to get some international money and that kind of good stuff. And take your $1.2 million. And if you can beat Vasyl Lomachenko, take the $1.2 million. Take their contract the first time, and the second time, you call the shots. Until then, you ain't the man. Lomachenko is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
These are the eyes that never knew how to smile till you came into my life. And these are the arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night. Girl, and here is the soul of which you've taken control. Can't you see I'm trying to show love is right? Oh, show and tell, just a game I play when I wanna say I love you. Girl, so show me and tell me. You
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Mike Tyson and Donald Trump. Donald Trump's president. Mike Tyson's coming back. Of course, they had a bit of a business relationship. Of course, Mike Tyson would endorse him, I believe, for president in 2016. But I remember back in about 1988, when Mike Tyson was married to Robin Gibbons. Remember? Robin, R-O-B-B-I-N apostrophe. And she's a thief, no doubt about that. Of course, her mother sued Dave Winfield, the New York Yankees, claiming that he gave her herpes. Of course, that's not a good thing to like put out there in the public, but that's what kind of lady Ruth Roper was. Of course, Ruth Roper, for the first date with Mike Tyson, she showed up with Mike Tyson, Robin Gibbons, Mike Tyson, three accountants, and a photographer. Why would you need three accountants on your first date unless you were looking to fleece this guy to some money? Anyway, I'm looking back in 1988, I guess it was 1988, but I remember it was a book that Tim O'Brien from New York Times wrote about Trump Nation. Of course, it was Art of Being the Donald. And, of course, that was his clash with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson asked him, hey, can I ask you, Donald, quote, can I ask you, are you effing my wife? Now, here's Trump. Now, if I froze, I'm dead. You would have zero chance. Here's the heavyweight champion of the world, and he's a solid piece of effing armor. What did I say? Trump never disclosed his answer. And, of course, Tyson never copped to it anyway. But as far as Miss Robin Gibbons or Mrs. Tyson sleeping with a lot of guys, I'm going to say she got around. No doubt about that. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide is forthcoming. Live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 211. Of course, Twitch.tv will continue the live broadcast on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel for hour number two. We'll bring in Muhammad Ali. We'll have some fun in hour number two. Talk about Ali. And, of course, the days have gone by when racial equality was a thing maybe we could dream about. We'll talk about that and more with Ali in depth. Hour number two, Muhammad Ali and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
I guarantee you there's no problem.